morning, everyone. I'm here from the Public Health Agency of Canada, and I'll quickly tell you a little bit about an investigation that we worked on collaboratively with the US CDC. So in the spring of 2015, at our weekly teleconferences with our CDC EPI colleagues, we notified them of a small cluster of E. coli that we were investigating with a pulse field electrophoresis pattern that we'd never seen before in Canada. And our US colleagues notified us at that time that they were also investigating a small cluster of E. coli 0157 with a very rare PFG pattern, and that they had also identified some additional isolates in their database with a matching MLVA. So once we got back to the lab, we chatted with them. It turns out that the PFG pattern designations in both countries were a match, and so we started a joint investigation. Our case definition was very similar and only varied slightly in the symptom onset dates. We shared information freely back and forth and worked together, but we did move forward with country-specific hypothesis-generating and leafy green-focused interviews. And at the time, whole genome sequencing wasn't being done routinely in the U.S. for E. coli 0157, nor was it being done in Canada. Actually, we were only doing it kind of ad hoc upon request. So what we decided to do with this outbreak was to sequence retrospectively all of the 29 outbreak cases, as well as some additional historical isolates to characterize them further genetically. So as I mentioned, there were 29 confirmed cases. 16 were from the U.S., and the U.S. cases were throughout 8 states. However, the U.S. cases clustered very nicely geographically. So there was a nice cluster on the West Coast and then kind of Midwest and East Coast. The 13 cases in Canada were kind of scattered across the country in 4 different provinces. Illness onsets ranged between March 8th and April 18th. The median range of our cases was 24 years old. The majority of our cases were female, and approximately 40% were hospitalized. 2 did develop HUS. So of the 29 cases, 100% of them reported leafy green exposure, and 21 of 26 of those reported exposure to romaine lettuce. 35% of those cases then reported exposure to a ready-to-eat Caesar salad kit. Another interesting finding was of the 13 Canadian cases, 5 of 10 reported a single brand of ready-to-eat kale salad. So the food safety investigation was carried out collaboratively through the Canadian Food Inspection Agency and the FDA. They were able to identify multiple romaine growing areas in the U.S. However, the traceback activities were not able to identify a single source for this outbreak. So I'll switch gears a little bit to the whole genome sequencing. And as I mentioned, we sequenced the outbreak isolates as well as some of the historical isolates. And these isolates clustered into 3 separate clusters. This cluster here in blue contains all of the Caesar salad, ready-to-eat Caesar salad kit eaters from Canada and the U.S. And interestingly, all of these U.S. cases were from the West Coast. And they all reported eating this ready-to-eat Caesar salad from one single company. In green, we have the Canadian and U.S. Cases, all reporting a variety of romaine exposures, as well as the Alberta or Canadian cases that reported the ready-to-eat kale salad kit. I think the interesting point here is only 4 of 5 of the ready-to-eat kale salad kit cases were found here. There was one case that also reported a ready-to-eat Caesar salad kit, and that case did cluster nicely with our Caesar salad eaters. In the third cluster in purple, those are some historical isolates from California linked in with a local restaurant cluster where the source wasn't identified. So I just wanted to quickly show this slide. We also did a whole genome MLST analysis, and this was just to show that, again, we had this nice clustering with the purple, the blue, and the green. So both methods clustered isolates similarly. So in conclusion, the use of PFG and MLVA with both the outbreak and the historical isolates would consider all of those highly similar. Whole genome sequencing was used to further delineate this cluster, and we ended up with 3 separate clusters. The historical clusters were not genetically related by whole genome sequencing to the outbreak clusters, and then the outbreak cluster was then further subclustered into 2 smaller clusters which fit very nicely with our EPI information as well as our geographical clustering. So this could suggest that perhaps the outbreak was related to 2 different food exposures, potentially with an upstream common source. Thank you very much.